Good evening, I'm Paul Drienzo with the headlines. Mass famine is imminent in parts of Gaza unless there is an immediate ceasefire and surge of food to areas cut off by fighting. That's according to the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
More than half of all Palestinians in Gaza, 1.1 million people, have completely exhausted their food supplies and are facing catastrophic hunger.
The assessment said 70% of Palestinians in northern Gaza were suffering the most severe level of food shortage, more than 20%, far exceeding the famine threshold. A UN spokesperson had this to say.
Famine is imminent in the period between now and May in the north of Gaza. That means when we look at the trajectory of food security and nutrition statistics, we're facing a catastrophic situation in technical terms.
There were no estimates on deaths, but the United Nations estimates children under four may already be dying at famine scale. About 300,000 Palestinians are in the famine-ravaged areas. The head of Doctors Without Borders is Christopher Lockyer. He reported as he entered Gaza through the checkpoint known as the Rafah crossing.
There are kids literally everywhere, which is a real shock. We've just been overflown three times by a jet, or by three jets which have just gone supersonic above the crowd, and it is literally terrifying. Clearly any ground invasion into Rafah would be an absolute catastrophe. Thinking about it would be a disaster upon a disaster.
European Union Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell put the blame squarely on Israel.
Israel is provoking famine. Starvation is used as a weapon of war. Let's say that. More children has been killed in Gaza on this month than in the whole world in the last 4 years.
Israeli Foreign Minister Israel Katz, in a response, urged Borrell to stop attacking Israel and recognize our right to self-defense against Hamas's crimes. In related news, Israel is still threatening an invasion of Rafah, the border town where hundreds of thousands of Palestinians have been forced by the fighting. In Washington, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan reported on a call by President Joe Biden urging Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to accept a ceasefire.
President Biden asked the Prime Minister to send a senior interagency team composed of military, intelligence, and humanitarian officials to Washington in the coming days to hear U.S. concerns about Israel's current Rafah planning, and to lay out an alternative approach.
Meanwhile, this weekend was St. Patrick's Day, celebrated worldwide, but with particular vigor in the United States, with its large Irish-American population. President Biden met with Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar, by the way, President Biden is part Irish, who spoke about Ireland's connections with Palestine.
And when I travel the world, leaders often ask me why the Irish have such empathy for the Palestinian people. And the answer is simple. We see our history in their eyes, a story of displacement, of dispossession, a national identity questioned and denied, forced emigration, discrimination, and now hunger.
In national news, the family and attorneys for a 17-year-old man shot and killed by a federal park police officer in Washington a year ago held a news conference on Monday. Delanio Martin, known as Debo, was sleeping inside a car when officers approached. The body cam video is disturbing.
Police, don't move.
Shortly before the shooting, a Washington, D.C. Metro police officer advised the park cop to let Debo go.
If he does, he takes golf, just let him go. But don't get inside that car until we need to go.
Gotcha. Tara Martin is Debo's mother.
When I arrived to the scene, I seen my son on the ground with a white sheet. MPD and park police joke plotted to murder my son, who was only 17 years old.
An attorney for the family had this to say on Monday.
It's been 1 year. No answers, no charges. We are not giving up. In fact, we are getting stronger.
And in local news, parents in schools in South Brooklyn have been complaining that their kids are being served moldy and unpalatable food. A council member asked school authorities about it on Monday.
We have pictures of moldy food that kids ate.
I would personally follow up with those parents. When we reached out to all of those schools, we did not get any information about those incidents or...
I have the picture, so I can share it with you.
Paul D'Arienzo, New York.